supplication on Sundays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. In the name of Allah, from whom I hope for nothing but bounty, and from whom I fear nothing but justice. I rely only upon His word, and I cling only to His cord. In Thee I seek sanctuary, O possessor of pardon and good pleasure. From wrong and enmity, and from the changes of time, and the recurrence of sorrows, and from the striking of mishaps, and from the expiration of my term before preparation and readiness. From Thee I seek guidance to that wherein is righteousness and being set right. From Thee I seek help in that which is linked to success and favorable response. Thee I beseech for the garment of well-being and its completion, and for the covering of health and its permanence. I seek refuge in Thee, my Lord, from the goadings of the Satans, and I seek protection in Thy sovereignty from the injustice of the sovereigns. So accept my past prayers and fasting, and make my tomorrow and what is after better than my present hour and my today. And exalt me in my clan and my people, and protect me in my waking and my sleeping. For Thou art Allah, the best guardian, and Thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, I am quit before Thee on this day of mine and on all Sundays that follow it, of associating others with Thee and of heresy. And I devote my supplication sincerely to Thee, addressing myself to Thy response. And I observe the acts of obedience to You for the hope of Your rewards. So, bless Muhammad, the best of Thy creation, the summoner to Thy truth. Exalt me with Thy exaltation, which is never made to suffer loss. And protect me with Thy eye, which never sleeps. And seal my affair by cutting me off from everything but Thee and my life with forgiveness. Surely, Thou art the all-forgiving, the all-compassionate.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum. Welcome to this episode of today's special. And this is a really special day. Today is birthday anniversary of Imam Muhammad al-Baqir, peace be upon him. So please accept our congratulations.
Baqir ulul awwalina wal akhirin.
Today, Saturday, is the first of Rajab, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 25th of Bahman, 1399 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 13th of February, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We offer our congratulations on the birthday anniversary of Shiite's fifth Imam, Imam Muhammad al-Baqir, alayhi salam.
يا من أتيت فزدت حبنا أسعدتنا وجمعت شملنا أنت هدية من الله لنا بعد انتظارنا لك طول السنة فيك السرور والهنا حمدا لك يا ربنا عيد سعيد Let's enjoy this happy day عيد مبارك Come on let's celebrate
Sunni and Shia sources describe Imam Baqir as an eminent scholar. He is well known among the early jurists. His traditions appear in major works of hadith, and he is an authority for Al-Tabari's historical and exegetical works. In Sufi circles, too, Imam Baqir's sayings are quoted. In Shia tradition, Imam Baqir is seen as the inaugurator of the legal and religious teachings that were further developed under his son and successor, Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq, peace be upon him. Imam Baqir lived at a time in history when religious doctrine was at the center of both the intellectual and political life of the community. The late 1st and early 2nd centuries of Islam were crucial times for establishing the foundation of the studies connected with the Quran. This involved interpretation of the Quran that relied, in turn, on the recollected actions and sayings of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his pure family. The city of Medina, where Imam Baqir, alayhi salam, resided, continued to be the center of the religious learning after the time of the Prophet, and it was in this cusp of history that Imam Baqir played a remarkably significant role. I congratulate to all of you, dear Muslim brother and sister, on commemoration of birthday anniversary of Imam Muhammad al-Baqir, peace be upon him. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, we are going to talk about the fifth infallible Imam, Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam. In the beginning, it must be indicated that the fifth infallible Imam, Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam, was born in the 57th year according to Hijra calendar and lived 57 years. We find that in the lifetime of Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam, he was present in the episode of Ashura in the year 61 according to Hijra calendar, and at that time he was by the age of, for example, 4. So he remembers, what took place on the day of Ashura. We find that such a personality like Imam Muhammad al-Baqir experienced and remembered the turbulent and terror-filled like the days of the Umayyad era, Umayyad Empire, and after the Umayyad period, in the Marwanid period also, he was one of the personalities who suffered a lot. According to the people who experienced learning before him, Abdullah ibn Atta, who was a great learned person, mentioned that he never experienced it, that even great learned people proved to be disciples and students before and in the presence of Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam. Hakab ibn Uyayn, who was a great man in his own term, always, appeared to be a disciple, even an ignorant person, compared with Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam. Jabir ibn Yazid al-Ju'afi indicated a piece of hadith from Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam, in that whatever he knew, he received from his father, the fourth infallible Imam, Ali ibn al-Husayn al-Sajjad alayhi salam. And Muhammad ibn Muslim, who was a great man, indicated that he received over 30,000 pieces of hadith from Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam, and he received the answers, full answers to all of his questions from Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam. Thank you.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid wa barik ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد.
What was the rank of Imam Baqir alayhi salam in respect to science and learning? Although Imam Baqir lived in unfavorable and restrictive times, Imam Baqir engaged in disseminating the reality of Islam. He is famously known for analyzing and explaining various intellectual issues. He brought about an extensive movement in learning and science and laid the foundations for an Islamic university which reached its zenith in the time of his son Imam Sadiq, peace be upon him. The scientific works of fifth Imam and the students which his school delivered to the Muslim nation also gave fulfillment to a prediction from the Prophet of Islam. The narrator of the following tradition is Jabir ibn Abdullah Ansari, the famous personality from the early days of Islam's revelation. Jabir has written, "One day the Prophet of Islam said to me, 'After me you will see an individual who is from my family, whose name is the same as my name, and whose appearance will be similar to mine. He will open the doors of knowledge to the people.' The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, foretold of this event at a time when Imam Baqir alayhi salam had not yet been born. Years passed from this foretelling, and the era of the fourth Imam arrived. One day Jabir was passing through the streets of Medina when his eyes fell on Imam Baqir. When he paid careful attention, he noticed all of the signs exactly which the Prophet had mentioned. He asked, 'What is your name?' The Imam replied, 'My name is Muhammad ibn Ali ibn al-Husayn.' Jabir began to kiss his forehead and said, 'Your grandfather, the Prophet, sent you his greetings through me.' Dear Shia Muslim brothers and sisters, congratulations on birthday anniversary of Imam Muhammad al-Baqir, peace be upon him.
بلقاكم طيبين والسعادة بالأحبة وهم معانا عايدوهم يا عساهم عايدين.
Imam Baqir alayhi salam and fruits of heaven. We have a story here. Once a Christian asked our fifth Imam, Imam Baqir, peace be upon him, how it could possibly be true what the Imam Baqir had said about the fruits of heaven not reducing when they were eaten. Imam Baqir told him not only was it true, but he could give him an example of something being used and not reducing which was present in this world. Imam Baqir alayhi salam then continued that when a candle is used to light other candles, even as many as 100,000 other candles, the light of the original candle will not get any less. So, just because you do not understand something in Islam does not mean it is wrong. Allah gave us Islam and our knowledge cannot compare with His.
Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam played a very important role in the knowledge that we have. The knowledge of the Ahlul Bayt, most of it was delivered through Imam al-Baqir and his son Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. Because it was during the lives of Imam al-Baqir and Imam al-Sadiq that the Ahlul Bayt, they found a window of opportunity to spread the knowledge. Because you see, the father of Imam al-Baqir, Imam Zain al-Abidin, his only way, one of his only ways of spreading the knowledge was through dua, crying for Imam al-Husayn. Because of the political circumstances and the political situation, Imam Zain al-Abidin didn't have the opportunity. And it was during the era of Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, which his imamah lasted for 18 years after the death of his father. During these 18 years, there were 5 of the caliphs of Bani Umayyah that came to power and they died. So they did not have the opportunity to hold on to power very strongly. So you see that it was during that time the Imam had the opportunity to teach people. Many that would gather around the Imam in the Masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, and the Imam would teach them. The Imam would say, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله, and then he would say the hadith. He would mention the ahadith of Rasulullah, the ahadith of the Ahlul Bayt, the ahadith of his fathers. And this is how today we have received the knowledge of the Ahlul Bayt through Imam al-Baqir and Imam al-Sadiq. There were several companions of Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam who today we are indebted to these companions. Because it was these companions who took the knowledge of Imam al-Baqir and Imam al-Sadiq and they delivered it to us. Today if you open the books of hadith, you will find the names of these companions. One of them is a man by the name of Jabir ibn Yazid al-Ju'fi. This companion of Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, he had memorized 70,000 hadith from Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam. Now if the companion memorizes 70,000 hadith, imagine how much knowledge does his teacher have, Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam. This man, Jabir ibn Yazid al-Ju'fi, he was such a close companion that the circumstances at the time called for him to go insane. He acted as if he is insane for a short while during his life to preserve his own life. Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, he sends him a letter with the letter Jim written on it. He took that letter and he understood from that letter that he has to act as a majnoon. He has to act as if he's an insane person. So this man, and imagine how difficult it is, he's a faqih. A man who has memorized over 70,000 ahadith, he would go out in the streets and he would act as if he's insane. And the children would run after him. A while later, Hisham ibn Abd al-Malik, the Khalifa, he writes a letter to his governor in Medina. He tells him, arrest Jabir ibn Yazid al-Ju'fi. So the governor, he goes to arrest Jabir. He sees Jabir is insane. So then he leaves him. He does not arrest him. And then he writes a letter back to Hisham ibn Abd al-Malik, telling him, this man is insane, why do you want me to arrest him? So he leaves him. Then the Imam, he writes him a letter. Once the danger is removed, he tells him, go back to how you were. So he would go and sit in the masjid, and he would say, حدثني وصي الأوصياء ووارث علم الأنبياء محمد بن علي. The inheritor of the knowledge of the prophets and the inheritor of the awsiya, Muhammad ibn Ali al-Baqir, told me. And then he would say the hadith and he would educate people. Now, just by mentioning the story, we are able to comprehend the difficult circumstances that our imams lived in. The imam has so much knowledge, but the imam is limited because of society.
Today's special expresses its congratulations on birthday anniversary of Imam Muhammad al-Baqir, Shi'at's 5th Imam. Happy Eid and fi amanillah.
This is the day of Eid. This is the day of Eid. food for thought.
Hello everyone, and congratulations on the auspicious birthday anniversary of Imam Muhammad Baqir, peace be upon him. Today is a blessed day of the start of the sacred month of Rajab. And let us hear what the fifth infallible successor of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, has said regarding the keys of faith. O Jabir, the first beings that God created were Muhammad and his family, the rightly guided ones and the guides. These were shadows of light, luminous bodies without spirits. They were strengthened by the Holy Spirit, or Ruhul Qudus, through which Muhammad and his family worshipped God. For that reason, he created them forbearing, learned, endowed with filial piety and pure. They worshipped God through prayer, through fasting, prostrating themselves, enumerating his names, and pronouncing Allahu Akbar, or God is great.
Join us in this journey, IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. First and foremost, we would like to send our congratulations to the Imam of the time, Imam Sahib al-Asri wal-Zaman, and to all Muslims, and to all Mu'mineen, and to all believers, to the Shia, and to our fellow Sunni brothers and sisters, on this being the day of the birth of Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, an Imam who we all respect, even our Sunni brothers and sisters, especially those who follow a a Sufi tradition and a spiritual tradition, a mystical tradition, really, you know, revere this Imam who unfortunately his grave has been desecrated and demolished in the city of Medina. And we hope and we pray that one day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us the ability to visit that holy place in Baqi without being any pressure, without there being any malice, without there being any, you know, disregard for who is actually buried there. You know, an Imam that is buried amongst three other Imams. You know, it's a beautiful experience for us to actually go and visit him, inshallah, in the very near future. And also, you know, without there being any, you know, so-called glare over our shoulders. On this occasion of the birth of the fifth holy Imam, we mention a very, you know, peculiar tradition from the Imam. It looks peculiar, but if you actually, you know, think about it, ponder upon it, it's a very wise, as most and nearly all, rather all of the traditions of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam are in this way. So the Imam alayhi salam is reported to have said that there will come a time when the best of people in terms of his state, now this obviously can be more to his spiritual state, his state in terms of knowing the truth, knowing falsehood, his mental state also, his psychological state, you know, a person who is at ease, a person who is tranquil, right? So this type of person, there will come a time when the best of people in terms of his state will be he who stays in his home. That is, that person does not come out. Meaning that this person remains neutral at a time where it is not clear which path is right and which path is wrong. Rather, which group is right and which group is wrong. This person may know what is right and what is wrong, but he knows that if he comes out, he will just cause more confusion. So many examples can be given here. For example, is a person of social status. But this person, in terms of his social status, knows that if he goes a particular way, he will confuse the people more. So rather, he remains quiet. Remaining in one's home could be a metaphor for just, you know, remaining silent, not taking a side. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to be of those who are able to distinguish right from wrong, truth from falsehood, and to be of those who are able to take that right path of truth and guidance. Inshallah, until next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
فدعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi, and as always, we are joined by our Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Alaikum assalam, brother Mahdi, and assalamu alaikum to all the dear brothers and sisters who are listening to this program. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is all mine, brother. Well, dear audience, as you may know, the program Let's Recite the Quran consists of several Quranic parts. In this series, at first, we all are going to listen to a recitation of the Noble Quran recited by a famous reciter. After it, Brother Muhammad will analyze that recitation, and at the end, we are going to listen to a short speech about the Noble Quran. Stay tuned, dear audience. We'll be right back. Today, in the first episode, we all are going to listen to the recitation of Surah Al-Isra, verses 9 to 11, recited by an outstanding Indonesian reciter, Salman Amrullah. Dear audience, let's enjoy it.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ويبشر المؤمنين الذين يعملون الصالحات أن لهم أجرا كبيرا وأن صدق الله العلي العظيم.
Dear audience of IRIB English Radio, you're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran. And what you just listened to was recitation of verses 9 to 11 of Surah Al-Isra, recited by the Indonesian reciter Salman Amrullah. Now, dear brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This reciter, just like you said, is from Indonesia, and actually, he won the Quran competition. This is the recent one in 2019 in Iran. He placed first and he was the best reciter, and we can see that he's a really good reciter. He has a very good voice and tajweed. So beginning with verse number 9 of Surah Al-Isra, we have in. The noon is mushaddad, and as a result we have to apply ghunna for two vowel counts. And basically what you just do is that you hold the sound of the noon that has shadda for two vowel counts, the duration of a long vowel. Inna hadha al-Qur'an. In the word hadha, you'll notice that there is no alif written after the ha of this word. But we still pronounce it like a long vowel. This is one of the letters that are not written but read. Okay? And of course, they have the small alif written, which indicates that this ha has to be pronounced with a long vowel alif.
There is alif maqsura, I think.
It's alif maqsura is the name, exactly. And this alif was not written originally. Okay, so just recently, in the few, you know, past probably century, okay, recent 100 years, they added this small alif. Inna hadha al-Qur'an. We have a ra with sukun. Ra is pronounced with tafkhim in this word, al-Qur'an, because it's sakin and preceded by a letter with a dhamma. So you have to pronounce it thickly with velarization. Al-Qur'an, with a full mouth.
Yeah, practically we can say
al-Qur'an. Yahdi lillati hiya aqwam. Aqwam. We have a qalqala.
Qaf.
The letter Qaf has qalqala because it's sakin and it has the characteristic of qalqala. وَيُبَشِّرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. The Ra again has tafkhim this time because the Ra has a dhamma and it's not sakin like the previous Ra. الْمُؤْمِنِينَ الَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ. يَعْمَلُونَ. The عَيْن has tawassut and no qalqala. So if you say ya'malun, ya'malun is incorrect. Ya'alamun, it should be no qalqala.
By tawassut, you mean it's a fricative. And
but it's timing, not so weak.
Yeah, the timing should be between plosives and weak fricative.
Exactly. So that's the amount of time that you spend pronouncing this letter. Yeah. See, yeah, we spend a little more time pronouncing it, yeah. But ayn, ya'malun. It's not as long as the ya.
Yeah.
And the meme also has tawassut. And also the lam and the noon. So we have meme, lam, and noon in this word all have the characteristic of tawassut.
The five letters, I think, are lin, omar.
Yes, that's right. Lam, noon, ayn, meme, and ra. يعملون يعملون الصالحات الصالحات. The sad has a alif al-mad and it's a letter of istirla, which means that you have to pronounce it with tafkhim
at the highest level.
At the highest level, الصالحات. أن لهم أجرا كبيرا. Both ras in these two words have tafkhim. They have to be pronounced with
the full mouth.
Yes, with the full mouth. أجران كبيرا.
And Jim has a qalqala.
Yeah, Jim has qalqala. Also, we have إخفاء of نون ساكنة. أجران كبيرا. ويدعو الإنسان. We have a qalqala on the letter dal in the word يدعو. الإنسان. We have إخفاء. A نون ساكنة followed by a letter of إخفاء, which is seen.
So it's interesting that this occurs within a word.
Yes.
Unlike
Ajuran Kabira, the previous one.
Yeah, unlike when we actually are facing with letters of Yarmalun or Idgham.
That's right. In Idgham, we can't have Idgham in a single word. It can only happen in a phrase. بِالشَّرِّ دُعَاءَهُ We have مَدُّ المتصل here, a long vowel followed by a hamza, and both are in the same word. The long vowel and the hamza are both in the same words. In the same word, actually. بِالْخَيْرِ خَا خَا has تَفْخِيم, because it's a letter of إِسْتِعْلَى at the second highest level.
Yeah, because of fatha, actually.
بِالْخَيْرِ The ra again has تَرْقِيق. وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ عَجُولًا We have again ikhfa in the word insan. And the ajula, we have waqful ibdal, because we're stopping, and the lam has tanween al fath. Whenever there's a tanween al fath on any letter except for ta marbuta, we have to pronounce the lam, or the letter actually, the letter that has tanween al fath with a long vowel alif, alif al-mat.
So ajulan becomes ajula.
Ajula, yes.
Thank you, dear brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. And now the third part of the program, let's recite the Quran. We all are going to listen to a short speech by Dr. Shomali talking about the Noble Quran. Let's enjoy it.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We continue our daily short talks on the Quran. And as you remember, we said we will read some hadith about the Quran from Muntakhabu Mizan al-Hikmah, which is translated also into English as a scale of wisdom. So the next chapter is تعلم القرآن وتعليمه, about learning and teaching the Quran. There are several hadith here, and all of them indicate great importance of learning and teaching the Quran. For example, in a very famous hadith from Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, he says, حق الولد على الوالد أن يحسن اسمه. When we connect, we say يحسن اسمه ويحسن أدبه ويعلمه القرآن. Among rights of the children over their parents, there are many rights for parents over children, many rights for children over parents. But among the rights of children over parents, there are three which are mentioned here. These are not the only rights, but these are three major ones. One is to give your child a very good name, a beautiful name. Second, وَيُحَسِّنَ adabahu, to train him with good manners. It's very important. Unfortunately, more attention goes to feeding children and giving them good dress, taking them, you know, I don't know, for some entertainment, which are okay, but adab is very important. And the third thing, وَيُعَلِّمَهُ الْقُرْآنِ You must teach your children Qur'an. If you can teach yourself, teach it yourself. Because the first thing is يُعَلِّمَهُ الْقُرْآنِ But if you cannot teach yourself, take teacher for him. Take him to a class, to a course. Sometimes it works better if you teach. Sometimes actually might be better if someone else is teaching, because maybe there is more discipline. Depends on the age, depends on your relation, depends on your background, on your caliber. But what is important, this has to be happening. Whether it is by you directly, or whether it is arranged by you through other people. So this is very important.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, what you just listened to was a short speech by Dr. Shomali, and that was the final part of the program. Let's recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Click on the tab Call of Islam on the top right of the page, and there you can have access to all our programs as well as the other programs of the radio. Until our next episode, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
منان سبحان يا خالق الإنسان نورنا بالقرآن بمصحف الإيمان ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن
The Ocean of Dua
أسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Hello everyone. Dear listeners, brothers and sisters, I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Rarsi, and we're going to be with you with another edition of The Ocean of Dua. In this version of the program, inshallah, we will discuss the true meaning of prayer and dua, the value of prayer, ways of reaching the Almighty Allah, acceptance, and also benefits of dua. So stay with us. Dear listeners, within the previous programs, we were trying to elaborate on the concept of bada in our religion. We understood that it involves ithbat and mahw, or obliteration and affirmation, and it is somehow a kind of change in the course of the events in the universe and history, but not in the book or the so-called lawhun mahfuz. We also said that belief in bada has so many effects in our lives. The first is that we will not dismiss the Almighty Allah's dominance over the course of the universe and society. And the second effect is with respect to our relation with the Almighty Allah. If man finds no way to change the divine decree and destiny, and does not see any advantage or benefit in supplication with respect to changing the course of events, he would not take resort to Allah for his needs and requirements if he does not believe in bada. The reason people take refuge in Allah is because they believe that there are two kinds of divine destiny in qada, a definite destiny which has been written by Almighty Allah in the mother of the book and in lawh al-mahfuz, which in no way can be changed or altered, and an indefinite destiny which is subject to change and alteration by the will of Allah. So people take resort to Allah for his response to their needs and prayers.
Alhamdulillah, khaliq al-khalq, basit al-rizq, faliq al-asbah, dhil jalal wal-ikram, wal-fadl wal-in'am, alladhi ba'uda fala yura, wa qaruba fashahida an-najwa.
There are numerous factors which lead to the intervention of the divine will in changing the course of causes and events. Numerous verses of the Holy Quran and also traditions suggest this fact. The 96th verse of chapter A'raf says, وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْقُرَىٰ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. If the people of the towns had been faithful and God-bearing, we would have opened to them blessings from the heaven and the earth. So, faith and God-bearingness are from among the factors which lead to intervention of the divine will. Also, based on another verse of the Holy Quran where it says, if you are grateful, I will surely enhance you in blessing. Gratitude to Allah is also another factor. Even it is really interesting that istighfar and asking for forgiveness is one of those factors. The 33rd verse of chapter Anfal says, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَأَنْتَ فِيهِمْ وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ مُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. But Allah will not punish them while you are in their midst, nor will Allah punish them while they plead for forgiveness. From among the factors, and one of the most important ones, as you may have guessed up to now, is the supplication and dua itself, is calling out to Allah. The Holy Quran says, وَنُوحًا إِذْ نَادَ مِنْ قَبْلِ فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ فَنَجَّيْنَاهُ وَأَهْلَهُ مِنَ الْكَرْبِ الْعَظِيمِ. And before that, Nuh, when he called out, we responded to him and we delivered him and his family from the great agony.
Why do we make supplication? And why do we call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it because God is not aware of our needs? God is Al-Alim, He knows all of our needs. Is it because God needs convincing? God is known as Al-Jawad, He is the source of generosity. Then why am I making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The dua is a journey of realizations. When a person goes to the ocean and he takes with him a bucket that can carry 4 liters of water, the ocean is infinite. In as much as your vessel is large, that is the amount of water that the ocean will give you. And therefore, our goal is to expand our capacity. Rumi has a very beautiful poem. He says, Har khujo mushkil javab onjo ravad. Wherever there is a problem, that is where the answer will come. Har khujo keshti ab onjo ravad. Wherever there is a vessel, that's where the water will come. آب کم جو تشنگی آور به دست. Don't go seeking for water. Instead, create the thirst within you. تا بجوشد آب از بالا و پست. So that the water may burst forth from above and from below you. Experience that realization that you need God and the merciful God will come towards you.
It's not a dream, this is so true. And we know we'll be here forever. The feeling is indescribable. Knowing that this is our reward.
The ocean of dua.
In the very chapter Anbiya, there is also another verse talking about the Prophet Ayyub. The 83rd verse of chapter Anbiya says, وَأَيُّوبَ إِذْ نَادَ رَبَّهُ أَنِّي مَسَّنِيَ الضُّرُّ وَأَنْتَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. And Ayyub, when he called out to his Lord, indeed, distress has befallen me, and you are the most merciful of the merciful. The next verse continues, فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ فَكَشَفْنَا مَا بِهِ مِنْ ضُرُّ. So we answered his prayer, we removed his distress, we gave him back his family along with others like them, as a mercy from us. So, in conclusion, the rule of Almighty Allah extends all over the universe, and there is nothing in it which can delimit His dominion or render Him incapable. However, This dominion prevails through the very chain of causes without suspending the law of causality, without nullifying the cause and effect system. Moreover, Almighty Allah effaces from this system whatever He wishes by His power and command, and confirms whatever He desires by His will. The phenomena of obliteration and affirmation, they both take place only in the book of creation and not in the mother of the book, Ummul Kitab. If He obliterates something in creation, it is in accordance with His wisdom and mercy, and this obliteration is the very phenomenon of Bada, regarding which there are many traditions from the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. But we should note that supplication is among the most important factors which cause Bada, as Allah the Exalted says, "Call me and I will answer you. Ud'uni astajib lakum." Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us in this program. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
This man changed the world.
Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar. Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar.
Our bosses couldn't cope with the idea of an 80-year-old Ayatollah, which they didn't even know what an Ayatollah was, who lived on garlic and onions and yogurt, directing a revolution that was about to topple America's most important ally.
Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar, Allahu Akbar.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Exalted, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Salam, hello and welcome to our audience, and particularly a warm welcome to our listeners to our program, The Man Who Changed the World. This is a program that is about the life and times of Imam Khomeini, may God bless his soul. And once